But tonight, we are doing something that probably nobody expected on Wednesday night. We are finishing Exodus. We don't typically go this fast through passages, but as I explained this morning we jumped from chapter 35 all the way to 39, and even chapter 40 is a lot of summarizing the things that have already happened, things that we have already studied. And so we're going to be able to, Lord willing, finish the entire book of Exodus tonight. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll move on to the next book of the Bible that we'll be studying. And Lord willing, it'll be one in the New Testament as we kind of go back and forth, Old Testament to New Testament. But looking forward to that. So finishing Exodus tonight, Exodus chapter number 40, we'll start with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right into the Scriptures. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Pray please help us now as we study it together. Help us to glean from it exactly what you would have us to do. To see and to know, and help us to use the knowledge that we gain. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Exodus chapter number 40, and we won't take all the time. We'll start reading, we'll read a few verses in the beginning here. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark withal. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hangings in the court gate," and you just go on, and it's just, this is what you're going to do in the final setup of the tabernacle. Now, I can imagine when you do a building project, I wasn't present for the construction of the vast majority of this building, but I can imagine it's a pretty good day to walk in and have it, maybe not finished, but usable. To walk in, I know there's stories you've told me about having heat, but no roof or no walls or whatever, and meeting just on the slab and stuff like that, and meeting out there under the shed thing out there, and I can imagine that first Sunday in with pews and with carpet and you know, with the thing finished, it's got to be a pretty special day. I remember up at Faith when we were doing the building project there, and we had a service in the new sanctuary. At which point the new sanctuary was just stud walls, and I think there was drywall on the ceiling, but nowhere else. And there was the floor was just the wood flooring, the OSB flooring, and we just all brought chairs in there and had service. And I remember it was one of my favorite services ever, because just the sound of the singing, Brother Ken, you could understand this, with all the wood and all that, it just reverberated everywhere. It made it sound like there were 500 of us in there. Singing those songs. And I remember enjoying that service, seeing everything coming together. I can imagine how Moses and them felt as they were putting together all the pieces for the first time. Now, the tabernacle was set to be mobile. It was something that they would take down and put up, and that would travel with them. And eventually, it might not have been such an amazing thing to have to tear it all down and put it back up, and tear it all down and put it back up. But this first time putting everything together, I can imagine, would be something quite special. And so Moses is here getting command from the Lord. This is the order in which you do it. This is what goes in first. This is what goes up first. Make sure you put the water in the laver. And just a whole list of to-do list for Moses as they finish off the construction and the putting together of the tabernacle. If you look at verse number 16, the Bible says, "Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he." And you continue on, and again, it gives you the same information kind of again about what happens and how they put everything together, and setting the bread in order on the table of shewbread, and putting the candlestick in the right spot, and lighting the lights and the lamps and all that information. And we come down to verse number 33. The Bible says, "And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court." And so Moses finished the work. And that's what we're going to zero in on tonight, is the idea of finishing the work. There's plenty of works that get finished and never completed. I remember in the Dominican Republic, Michelle, you probably remember this, we were driving one time, there was this great huge building It was like an apartment building or a condo. And I remember it was just this big building right in the town, one of the main towns there, kind of near the ocean. And I remember asking the missionary, why is that just sitting empty? And it was, there was just, you could tell it was this big fancy building, but there was decay and there was crumbling stuff and it was roped off. And he said they were building it and they got near to completing it and it got condemned. It was leaning or it was crooked or something was wrong with the foundation to where that entire structure, after all that work, it got condemned and they never finished it. And I can only imagine, I'll bet there's some crazy stories of money spent on things that you get the project almost done and it never gets finished. Sadly, there's probably stories of churches that got almost built and then there's a fight and then there's a problem and then there's, you know, whatever issue and it never gets finished. And there's ministries and there's missions that people do that they get a little ways into it and they don't finish. And being a youth pastor for many years, you see kids start things and young people get excited about things and then they never see it through. And it can be discouraging, but my encouragement tonight is if Moses can finish this work, then certainly we can finish the work that the Lord gives us to do, because it's nothing in scale compared to what Moses has gone through in the book of Exodus and what he's dealt with and what he's done. And so I would say take courage and just finish the work. There's a lot of my dad's here tonight, and I'm glad he instilled in me the idea of it needs to get done, so just do it. Just you know, jobs, sometimes things wouldn't be going your way, or you just want to quit, you want to go home, but you can't. You got to get it done, so just suck it up and do it. And sometimes in ministry, I want to just tell people, just suck it up and do it, and just stop complaining and get the job done. But we sometimes don't view it that way, and we want to have our pity parties, and I'm sure nobody in this room, of course, but we all know somebody who, you know, you give them a task and they may not complete it, may or may not be harder than they expected, and they may or may not get as much praise as they wanted for it, and all other things that cause them to not complete the task. We've been given tasks as Christians, not only the Great Commission, but many other things in our lives that you could view as a task that we can complete for the Lord, including what we talked about this morning as the fact that we are His workmanship and we are supposed to be becoming more and more like Christ. That's a task that is never finished until the day we die. Our marriages, our relationships, our the things that we do in our life are things that we ought to work at and work towards completion of or perfection of till the day we die. And we have some examples in the Word of God. Turn with me to John chapter 4. You can leave Exodus for now. We'll be back at the end of the message, but it'll be a little while here. John chapter 4, we have, of course, an example in Christ. He is always the best place to look for an example and concerning any topic. But John chapter 4, we're going to look at several passages in the book of John, but they'll be in nice order for us. They'll be nice and easy to follow. John chapter 4, verse number 34. The Bible says here, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. It says that that's what sustains me. I'm going to do the will of the Father and finish His work. Now flip all the way to chapter 17 with me, John chapter 17 and verse number 4. John chapter 17 and verse number 4. The Bible says here, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He's praying to the Father. He says, I have finished the work. Now, chapter 19, verse number 30. Chapter 19, verse number 30. Christ on the cross, he cries out, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So Christ came and he finished the work. Now, turn with me another place about Christ, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews 12, 2. The Lord came, he had quite a work to do, and that work was what he said sustained him in his life here on earth. He says, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish the work. And he prays the Father, says, I've finished the work. On the cross, he says, the work, it is finished. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Christ is, he is the finisher. He is a good example to look to as one who finishes the task. Now, that of course is the perfect example in Christ. We can also look at what is our goal as Christians when it comes to, you know, we're not perfect, we're not sinless, but we want to finish well. This was, of course, written of by, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the Apostle Paul as well, this struggle to finish well. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4 and Acts chapter 20. 2 Timothy 4 and Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul, of course, had a very interesting testimony, a very amazing conversion, a very amazing Christian life. He planted many churches. He wrote many of the books of the New Testament of the Bible. He had many fellow laborers and co-laborers with him. And he did so much for the Lord. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24, the Bible says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." He said, I am not moved in these things. I am going to not consider my life dear to myself because I want to finish. And not just finish, but finish with joy. Finish and say, okay, I did a good job. Not out of pride, but out of a fact of assurance of knowing that, that I did finish well. We want to finish well. There's a lot of people who start well, and they don't finish well. But we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have his testimony written down here about how did he finish. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he writes, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So he does. He gets to the end of that ministry and says, you know what? I have not just fought the fight, I have fought a good fight. And I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. That is the testimony you want to have when you come to the end of your days here on this earth, is to say, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith. In another place we read that he is innocent of the blood of all men because he shunned not to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. He didn't hold back. He declared it all. He did all that he was supposed to do and went where he was supposed to go in just about every case, and he finished his course well. So that's a good goal for us. We want to be able to look back on our lives one day and say, I did what I could for the Lord. And I ran a good race, I fought a good fight, and I have finished, and I have kept the faith. That's the goal. That's not always the reality, though. So we're going to look at a couple of examples here, three examples in the Word of God of people who don't have necessarily the same testimony as the Apostle Paul or as the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me first. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says here, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Demas, of course, we've talked about him before here at this church. He was one who in two other places in the Bible is mentioned that are chronologically before 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he is mentioned as a fellow laborer with Paul, somebody who was working together with Paul in the ministry to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now we read that he hath forsaken the ministry and forsaken Paul because he loved the world too much. This is not an uncommon thing in the world today. There's a lot of people who start well and they're running their race, but they end up back in the world. They're in church for a while. They're out of church for a while. They're those roller coaster Christians, and when they're there, they're all there. They want to do everything. They want to be a part. They want to teach. They want to help with class. They want to do everything they can, and then they're gone. And you wonder, where in the world did they go? Well, they had this going on, and they had that going on, and they had this thing happening, and that thing happening, and they just didn't stick around. There's a lot of Demases out there in the world today. We have another example, a man who is actually mentioned in this passage. So if you put a marker in your Bible there in 2 Timothy 4 and then turn with me to Acts chapter 12, another man who is an example of somebody who didn't run their race the same way as Paul and the same way as Christ. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 25. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 25. Bible says, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So John, whose surname was Mark, he joins into the ministry of Barnabas and Paul at Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. There's been some great things going on in his hometown, and he decides to join them on the road, join them on the missionary journey, and go with them to serve the Lord. You come to the next chapter, verse number 5, Bible says, and when they were at Salmis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had also John to their minister. So he's helping. He's there. He's helping them with the ministry. He's helping with the preaching of the word of God. Now we come to verse 13 of the same chapter. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, it's an incredible story to me because in this chapter, you find Paul and Barnabas accosted by this unbeliever and in contention with this unbeliever, and the Lord brings this great victory to them. If you look back with me, verse number 8, the Bible says, but Elymais the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So this is a victory. This is a win. This Elymais, the sorcerer, comes in and he's trying to lead away from the faith somebody that they're trying to win to the faith. And they go above and beyond and they say, you're a child of the devil and the Lord is upon you and you're going to be blind. And then this mist falls on him and he walks away blind, not being able to see. And the guy they were trying to lead to Christ, he said, yeah, I'm going to choose you guys. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that ministry. And he was astonished at the doctrine, not just what happened, but at the doctrine that they taught. And so essentially, by any even human standard, they won the battle. And the very next verse is, John left and went away from him and went back home to Jerusalem. Even when there's a victory, sometimes people think, this isn't what I signed up for. This is more intense than I realized. This is not exactly what I pictured. And here, it's kind of an astounding case to me. They have this great victory, and John says, that's enough for me. He got his story, he got his sermon illustration, or whatever you want to say, and he went home. Now, we go a couple of pages in our Bibles to Acts chapter 15 and verse number 36. The Bible says here, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So Barnabas says, hey, let's take John Mark with us. And he says, no, he didn't help. He didn't help with the work. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Sicilia, confirming the churches. Now, Paul and Barnabas were chief friends. They were partners in ministry, and they had such contention because Paul said, that guy didn't help. He quit. He gave up, and he went away. Barnabas said, you know what? That's okay. I'm still going to take him and still going to use him. He wants to be back in the ministry now. We're going to give him the chance. And so they had that contention between them. And then as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it's a blessing to see that by the point of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11, we read, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. So John Mark is an example. Demas was a man who got into the ministry and quit because he loved the world too much. John Mark is a man who got into the ministry, quit for whatever reason, and then got back into the ministry. It kind of reminds me of the story of the 99 sheep and the one that got away, right? The one that wanders off and he's back into the fold. And you like to think that the one that got away and comes back, that he's going to stay in line. You like to hope that's going to happen. And I think about the testimony Brother Brandon shared when he was here last Sunday night he got saved and he was faithful to church for a while, but then he got onto the wrong path. Just like John Mark, he was one that was helpful and was being a part of the ministry and was doing the work, and he was faithful, and then he was gone. He was gone for quite a while, for several years. And the Lord got his heart right and got the situation right. He got back into the work, and now he is serving God in Kenya. And so there's a lot of people out there that are like John Mark, who they didn't fight the good fight every day of their life. They didn't run that course straight through. They had some hiccups in between. They had some falls and some failures. They had some downtime. Can you imagine John Mark? He got to see that showdown with Elymais the sorcerer, but he missed out on quite a bit in between chapter 13 and chapter 15. He missed out on several churches being planted. He missed out on quite the journey. And so it's one of those things where we don't want that either. It's better than Demas, who we have no record of ever coming back to the ministry, of never coming back to the Lord in right relationship. But it's still not what we want. It's not what we want to model our lives after. Someone who is here, get here a while, and then quits, and then comes back. Better to come back than to stay quit. But even better yet, not to do that at all. Now, I want to give you this third one here. This one is probably not going to be anybody here. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 6, verse number 8. Some of you have lived the life of John Mark. Some of you could tell me stories about how you serve for a while, you get away from God for a while, and yet here you are. And praise the Lord for that. That's better than being Demas. That's better than being gone. Our goal, though, is to be like Christ and like Paul, and being able to look back and say, all right, from this point on, I did not quit. I did not turn tail. I kept running my race. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 8, here we read, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Stephen, of course, is one of the first deacons of the church. He is a man who took it upon himself to preach an amazing message in Acts chapter 7. You could preach for weeks on that. He just gives it how it is. And he preaches straight and he preaches strong. And we come to verse number 54 of chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse number 54. The Bible says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Now that's a man who got into the ministry, and he didn't have very long in the ministry. He was faithful to the end, but his end came pretty quickly. It's not likely that we are going to be killed for our faith in this nation. We're not likely to be like Stephen, but there are plenty of Demases and John Marks in the world today. There are plenty of people who begin and quit, or begin and falter and then get back on their feet again. There's a lot of people that can relate to that today. What we ought to desire, though, is Matthew 25:21. The Bible says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we want. We want to hear that. And I've told you before, God's not a liar. If you weren't a good and faithful servant, he's not going to say that to you. It goes against the normal preaching on heaven, because people essentially, it's, oh, either depart from me, I never knew you, or well done. I think there's some things in between there. From a lost person to someone who has done a good job in their Christian walk, I think there's some in-between people that get in by the skin of their teeth, right? They get saved and they do nothing for the Lord. They get saved and they end up like Demas. They get saved, they have some bumps along the road like John Mark. And I don't know about you, but I don't know. I hope that I can live the rest of my life without any falter or any failure. But even if I do, to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that's a high mark to reach. Because that means faithful, that's consistent. Consistently a good servant of Christ. Good and faithful servant, that's the goal. That's what we want to have if we're going to finish well. Now, the question is, how do we finish well? Well, earlier on, we talked about, we saw Paul. He said, you know, none of these things move me. There was a whole list before that. And he said, none of these things move me that I might finish my course with joy. And so there's, you could go that route and see some information there about how to finish well. But we're going to go back to Exodus chapter number 40 and finish out the rest of the chapter. And it kind of shows us how to finish well in our course. Speaking of finishing, there's kids in here as young as three, and so hopefully their course is long from finished. Hopefully they've got many, many, many years to go, and Lord willing, we've all got quite a ways to go on our course, but we don't know how long we have, and we want to finish well. We don't want to have time downtime away from serving God and doing what's right, and so let's see, how do we finish well? In Exodus chapter 40, we read up through verse number 33, they rear up the tent round about the tabernacle, so Moses finished the work. Verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This is how we finish well. We go when God says go, and we stay when God says stay. We just follow the Lord. This reminds me, I read this passage, it reminds me of my children, because right now my children are very into the game, kind of red light, green light. And most of you would know the game is pretty simple. Somebody is in control, and you want that person to be a nice person, or else they make the game horrible. But they just, you know, they say green light, and you start walking towards them. They say yellow light, and you, once they say red light, if you don't stop, you're out of the game. And you got to follow those instructions. I remember growing up playing that game, and it was just red light, yellow light, or green light, yellow light, red light, and all back and forth. And it can be a fun thing, but it's a good illustration to see, to think about our Christian life as with the tabernacle, especially says, hey, if the cloud moves, you move. If it stays, you stay. It's just like red light, green light. If somebody yells green light, you go. If somebody yells red light, you stop. It's as simple as a child's game, and yet it's so hard for so many of us to do on a daily basis to just follow the Lord. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do what we know to be right in God's eyes. Don't do what we know to be wrong in God's eyes. It's as simple as a child's game, and yet we so often get it wrong. We want to finish well one step at a time. Follow the Lord. This we think about, you know, the ways in which we can run the race and finish the course and all that. I mentioned before there's different tasks that God has given us that we can do well at or do poorly at, and everything from relationships to growing closer to Christ instead of being apathetic towards our walk with God. And of course, the big one is the Great Commission. And I try to correct, there's a lot of people out there, they think, oh, the Great Commission is the Great Commission because it's such a huge, big thing. And they're not wrong. It's a large task, but I think it's great because it's taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who need it. I don't think it's great because, oh, it's this big, great project that's going to take forever to do. No, I think it's great because it's a great thing. It's really not that difficult, if you run the math, to make a big impact in this world for Christ. You think about today, we had 60 this morning, but normally we have about 50 people on a Sunday morning recently or lately. And so if just 50 people, on average, told one person per week about Christ, then in 1 year, 2,600 people would have an individual interaction with somebody telling them about Christ. And as we've talked about for the last 10 weeks, those individual interactions are gold when it comes to witnessing. It's better than handing out a tract. It's better than holding a sign. It's individual one-on-one. That's the best thing you can hope for. And so that would be 2,600 people hearing about Christ if one time per week, each person that's here, you know, the 50 people that are here or so, would do that. It's 2,600 people a year. Now, if on average 50 Christians have hand out one gospel tract per day, Say, one a day. Yeah, it's not that hard. Put it at the gas pump and stick it in some jeans at the store that you don't plan on buying. I don't know, just whatever. If you hand out one gospel tract a day, 50 people, one a day, that's 18,250 tracts in a year. That's a lot. That's 18,250 tracts in a year from just 50 people at one a day. Now, we do events here and things where we could get out hundreds in a day. And there's this little church in the 4 years or almost 4 years that I've been here, we've been blessed by God to be able to pass out several thousand tracts, several hundred John and Romans. We've been blessed by God to be able to send well over 40,000 John and Romans around the world to be used by missionaries and pastors. We've been able to fund Bibles in Mexico multiple times. We've been able to take on seven more missionaries than when we started. There's a lot that just this small group of people have been able to accomplish in just a few years. The Great Commission is something that is not just this great unachievable goal, because remember, it's not to save the whole world. That's not possible because mankind has free will. And God's not going to force people to get saved. The Great Commission isn't for us to save every soul. It's to reach every soul with the gospel. It's to let every soul hear the words of life. That's a much more attainable goal. And so that's one of the things that we can keep at and follow the Lord in and finish well. To be able to witness and continue to do that till the day we die. That's an easy one. That's an easy one. Now, Mark chapter 10, verse 27 is a good verse to remember when you consider finishing well and keeping up the good work and all those things. The Bible says, with Jesus looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Different things that we do or following God the way we should, it just seems impossible. Our flesh just takes over, gets in the way. The Bible says, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. All things. The Great Commission aside, the task of being conformed into the image of Christ, that's another work that we must continue and never quit. The task of raising our children and influencing our grandchildren for the glory of God, that's a task that we ought never quit. There's so many parts in our lives as Christians, so many areas where people can quit or take the wrong road. Moses finished the work the way God instructed. He finished the curtains of the tabernacle. He finished the altar. He finished the laver. He finished the candlesticks. He finished the lamps. All the different parts he finished. He didn't just finish the parts that he enjoyed. He didn't just finish the parts that he was best at. The Bible lists the whole thing. He put it all together and thus finished the work. Your life is a work. Your life is a work of Christ. We talked about that this morning, that we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. And there's so many avenues in our life that we can decide, you know what, I'm going to let the Lord keep working on me, or no, I'm going to be content with what I am today and I'm not going to go any further. There's a lot of people who have reached the summit of their Christian life by their own decision. I'm not going to grow any closer to God. I'm not going to do anything more for witnessing than I do. I'm not going to attend any more than I attend. I'm just, this is my limit. I'm going to go once a week, or I'm going to read my Bible once a day, or 5 minutes. I'm going to pray, you know, on Saturdays, or whatever it may be. People set these limits for themselves instead of continuing on for Christ the way they should. Well, we read the verses this morning, Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A good way to finish strong and to finish well is just stay with it. Stay with the word of God. Continue reading it every day. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It's fitting that the book of Exodus finishes with following the Lord, because that's essentially what the bulk of the book is. The people, Moses, he goes off into the wilderness, and the Lord calls to him from the burning bush, and he has to follow the Lord. And Moses gets to Israel, and all the 10 plagues happen, and all that goes on, and Israel follows the Lord. Out of Egypt. And then in the wilderness, they follow the Lord through the Red Sea. And they follow the Lord through thirst and through hunger. And they follow the Lord through the wilderness of Sinai. And they follow him to the mountain of God. And it's just all following the Lord. And the book ends the same way. It says, you follow the Lord. When the cloud moves, you move. When the fire moves, you move. In Exodus 13, verse 21, go ahead and turn there with me. We'll finish with this. Exodus 13, we find this cloud and this pillar. It's nothing new to them. It's kind of taken a back seat to the golden calf incident and the receiving of the law, but it's nothing new. Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." From the moment they step out of Egypt, they're following the Lord. Quite literally. It would be nice in our lives if every decision we had to make was presented that easily of, there goes the pillar of fire, follow it. It sounds really simple. It sounds really easy. And yet we spent several chapters and many sermons talking about a golden calf. And so as easy as it may be to open this Bible and see what we ought to do, it's not that easy to finish well when we're battling our flesh, when we're battling the sinful world. The best advice that I know to give is to just stay in the instruction book, stay in the guidebook, keep the lamp open so the light can shine, and just one step after another, follow the Lord. And when you get to the end, you can look back and say, I've run my course, I've kept the faith, I've fought a good fight, and now I'm finished. We can't finish too early, and we can't quit before we're done. We want to finish this Christian life in a way that pleases God. Finish well and follow the Lord. That's what I see in Exodus chapter 40. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and for your word. Lord, help us to follow it to the best of our ability. Lord, help us to turn to it in every need that we have. Help us to study it, to show ourselves approved unto you, so we can know which way to turn. Help us to always strive to continue this course that you've set us on in a way that pleases you. Every decision we make, every place we go, every person we interact with, help us to consider, Lord, whether we'll be able to earn that phrase at the end of our life, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to have the desire to finish well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Ken. Page 216 in your hymn books, we'll sing a couple of verses. Page 216.